The FM new news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Boy, I gotta say, that last segment was just the greatest of my career. Oh, I hope you heard that. That was incredible. Wasn't it, Craig?
Yeah, we got to thank Charter for making that a beautiful segment.
No, you're supposed to say you weren't on the air, and then I was going to act all depressed.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of reassuring that the internet here is just as not reliable as it is at my house. You know, so now at least I feel like I'm not the only one.
Yeah,
so.
I've submitted a trouble ticket with our two service providers.
Trouble ticket.
Well, because that Charter the Charter connection that feeds our office there in Reno is in a building, or not a building, in a room about 300 feet away from where you're actually sitting, but it's the Charter feeds everybody. So when you go down, everybody else in the building's gone down.
So, ever since I got that funny looking router, you know, they updated the router.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Say, yeah. Ever since I got that funny looking thing, my internet goes off for 10 second breaks back off and on. And I'm sure Joe Mackey is just fascinated with this conversation. Let's go to the phone. Joe Mackey, comedian, appearing at the Carson Nugget. Mackey's back in town. You ever hear that before, Joe?
Little Bobby Darin reference, yeah.
Because you've been at the Nugget before, have you not? Or am I wrong?
No, this is my first time there, yeah.
First time
in Carson City, so looking forward to it. Two shows tonight.
We seem to be getting an awful lot of Fox News comedians at the Carson Nugget, and you work on the Gutfeld Show.
That's true. I am a writer and a longtime panelist for Gutfeld. I try not to introduce myself as a Fox News comedian because, you know, I don't want to poison the well. I want people to not know what they're getting and then make their mind up, you know, during the show. But, he's brought a lot of guys in from there.
So, first time here. How'd you travel here to Reno and Carson City?
Oh, boy. First time my flights weren't delayed in a long time.
Oh, sweet.
It's been brutal.
Really? But it was okay? It was a good flight?
Oh, great flights. Great flights. I got in when they said I was going to get there. And if that works, yeah, that's the thing.
Almost as on time as Amtrak. That's So you haven't been to Carson City before. What do you think of the place?
Oh, it's beautiful. The weather was great yesterday. The people are friendly. It's, you know, I just thought, oh, it's going to be a suburb of Reno, but it seems like it's its own thing.
You live in New York. So why come all the way to Carson City, my friend?
Look, you go where the work is when you're a comic at my level, which is like really funny, but, you know, being able to pick and choose like where all the best routing and, you know, I mean, I go from here to Florida and then next week I'm in Illinois. You go where the work is and try to be happy about it. Cause there are definitely worse jobs.
I get that as a comedian. What? You go where the people are. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. How about Vegas? Have you played in Vegas?
Oh, many times. Yeah. There's a lot of clubs in Vegas now.
And what do you think of Vegas?
You know, I'm not a huge gambler, but I enjoy, you know, I love that the bars open 24/7. I love that, you know, there's stuff to do all the time. It's just, you know, it's a tough place to do stand up because people are there for other things and you really want people to be invested in the show.
You know, I've heard comics say that about Las Vegas, but my theory is, Vegas kind of overwhelms people, and it's like they got this amazing entertainment and everything, and so the audience is kind of like jaded. It's not that much of a special event for them, the way I see it. I used to do comedy at the old Catch a Rising Star, which was at the old MGM Grand, and I think it is the toughest crowd in the country, to be honest with you. Where do you play in Vegas?
The Comedy Cellar has a place in the Rio that I usually go to. It's a pretty good club. I wouldn't say it's as good as the one in New York City, because it's, like you said, it's like there's all these flashing lights and scantily clad women, and now they're like, okay, in this room you have to sit down, shut up, and pay attention.
So you're at the Rio where Penn and Teller perform. Did you see their show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What's it like? Because I haven't seen the show. I've heard good and bad, but what's your take on it?
No, I haven't seen it. When you're a comedian, you spend all your time working in bars. So the last thing you want to do is go to a show. Maybe I'm the jaded one in this whole equation, but yeah, it's kind of brutal. I feel like you want to go out and like, no, that's the last thing I want to do.
You're right. Okay. I get that. So, okay. You write for the Gutfeld show. So you actually, if you write for that show, you must really, write material on news stories. You must listen to the news and, the lines come up right away. Is that how the process works for you, Joe?
Yeah, they have like regular people with journalism backgrounds, like kind of write a bit of a story. And then, myself and another comedian, Joe DeVito, kind of add some jokes to try to make Greg look good. It's not easy, but we're giving it our best.
What are your favorite types of stories to riff off of?
Oh boy, some silly light ones, you know, just like the way the news has been so recently. We're just trying to have something that's fun to talk about, because so much of the news isn't. That's the tough part. People want to know what's going on in the world, but a lot of times people just say, hey, we want a little bit of a break. So we're trying to, you know, lighten it down as much as we can.
Well, the show's a huge success, of course. I hear it beats out some of the big three late night talk shows. To be honest with you, I haven't seen the show much at all. I do see Greg on the Five almost religiously. And, you know, Greg Gutfeld started as a stand-up comic. I remember those days.
Oh, I've never seen him do stand-up. He was a writer for and an editor for, like, Maxim UK Prevention Magazine. And he's a really fun guy.
Right.
He used to do a show called Red Eye, which was at 3 in the morning.
Late night.
Is the Five on at 5 here, or is it on at 2?
Yes, and of all things, you're right, he was a magazine editor. Just a strange path to take to where he is now. Joe, tell me about the path you took for comedy. What did you start out being or doing?
I always wanted to be a comedian when I was a little kid. I just procrastinated a lot. I was working at a supermarket, and my dad's like, if you want to be a comedian, you got to go do it, because you're not getting any younger. And I moved to New York with no job, just my savings, and I got a temp job at Viacom, and I started doing that. And I was a little older, you know, 25, 26 than some of the other people starting out. But comedy's a great thing. You don't have to be young to do it, or you just have to be funny and work at it and be able to take rejection.
Were your parents concerned? I mean, that's a common thing I hear about comics, about what do you want to do with your life, son? And you're pursuing something which is a very crowded field, and one out of a, you know, so what were yours like?
You know, I think they'd be concerned if it's like, if I had like a full ride scholarship to, you know, Harvard, or, you know, I had a great job lined up at IBM, but I was just working at the supermarket. So like, well, you're already failing, so you'll just be failing somewhere else.
What'd you do in the supermarket?
Everything. When you work at a supermarket, they try to train you everywhere. So I worked the customer service desk most of the time, but if they need help in the butcher shop, I did some butchering, you know. People would ask me to work in the bakery, and I'd have to sloppily write happy birthday on a birthday cake and just ruin people's birthdays.
So was the supermarket job kind of a subject you could make jokes about in your act?
You know, I don't do a lot of stuff about my actual life. I do a lot more just kind of like more like George Carlin style or Norm Macdonald style. It's a lot of social commentary, just to say that this is weird and here's why kind of jokes.
This is weird and here's why. Okay,
yeah.
I get that. And you know what? It's too bad this is not television, because you have quite, and I mean this as a compliment, quite a comedic face, my friend. Could you describe it?
You know, I'm one of those people that I got an expressive face. I can't hide when I'm upset about something. I can't hide when I don't like something, but when I think something is funny, it shows on my face. It really helps out a lot. People say it's how you deliver a joke. I don't really think it's true. I think the writing is the hardest part, but the delivery helps.
So you're performing this weekend. You're playing on Saturday, right? Today.
Yeah, today, 6 and 8.
6 and 8. And what, because your first time here, people unfamiliar with you, describe your act for folks who are considering coming out to the Carson Nugget to see you.
Look, I bring the pain, okay? It's a mirror.
You bring the pain.
It's gonna make people uncomfortable, but you're going to laugh. And if you can't deal, there's a free door back to the casino. But I think people are going to like it. I think people are going to like it.
Well, see, now you don't seem that type to me. You seem like the jolly type. But
I think that's a good thing. You don't want to tip your hand, you know? So beneath this marshmallow exterior is a real bad tough guy.
Well, that's a polite way of saying you're a little, you know, full-sized marshmallow exterior. So
look,
I'm just drawing the picture. Okay. Anything else, Joe? It's great talking with you.
Well, no, I appreciate you guys letting me come on, and I hope people make it out to the show, especially fans of Gutfeld. They'll really enjoy it.
All right. By the way, do you appear as an image on the Gutfeld show, or are you just behind-the-scenes writer? Does he have you do skits and things?
I do skits, and I do panel, once or twice every couple of weeks. I get to do on the it's a panel discussion, so I'm on that a lot.
Oh, good. So people are familiar with you. Excellent.
Yep.
And we hope to see a lot more, Joe. And I hope Carson City gives you a big, big welcome. And folks in Reno, you're permitted to go out to Carson City and see the show at the Carson Nugget. Joe playing two shows tonight. Joe Mackey, thanks for calling in with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. Take care, fellas.
All right. See you, Joe. We're going to open up the phone lines to open topic 884-9910. All the topics that I hit on to start the show off, which I totally forgot about by now. 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Be right back in a few on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1019.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1FMTalk.com.
You know, I just got an oil change, and guess what? They have pumpkin spice blend. I'm on the air. 10:22, good morning. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday. Okay, folks, Olympics, Summer Olympics, they announced this week, five new sports for the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. The 2024 Olympics are going to be in Paris, but in 2028, they're coming back to LA, which had one of the most successful, if you remember, one of the most successful Summer Olympics many years ago. So it's no surprise that they're coming back to our neighboring state in 2028. But okay, now the five sports that will be added for 2028 are flag football, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, it was great in gym class, and it's great that young ladies can play it often. It's fun. But Olympics? Craig, what do you think of this?
I'm with you, John. It's ridiculous to have. I mean, okay, it's going to be a sport, you know.
For the ladies. It's a ladies.
It's ladies, because I didn't get that clarified.
I think it is. I think, let's be honest. If it was with the men, it'd look pretty silly. It'd be like that, what is that weight thing they throw around? what is that?
What?
Squat? Not, it's not squash. I don't know.
Highlight, the discus.
No, it's shot that put. Thing. It's that thing with the handle. With the
oh, the hammer.
On.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So I think this is for the ladies, flag football.
Yeah, to me, that goes into the same genre as rhythmic dancing where you have a ribbon on a stick.
What? Don't put it past them.
No, it's already there.
Oh, my God.
Dancing. Yes.
What happened to our Olympics? What have they done? Listen, okay, so flag football, why can't we have real football in the Olympics? And I can tell you why we don't have real football in the Olympics, because the other countries know that we would win every single time, right? We would win the gold every time if they had real football. It'd be us in Canada fighting over how long the field should be if they had it. Okay, now the four other new sports for the Olympics are squash, cricket, and baseball / softball. That's baseball for the men and softball for the women. A baseball should have always been in the Olympics, in my opinion. I mean, not just for us. How many chances, when you get down to it, how many chances does Cuba and the Dominican Republic have for a gold medal without baseball, right? Actually, I just got a text. John, the flag football is for men and women both. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. But you know what sport is missing still from the Olympics? And I say this all the time. Why? Why is bowling not an Olympic sport? I mean, it seems like it would really fit in the Olympics. Maybe because bowling is more of a recreation than a sport. It's like opportunity to drink beer when you come down to it. And
it is a sport, but it's the same thing. Like, okay, why is not nine ball pool in the Olympics? You know?
Yeah, well, we'd have all the sharks showing up if that were the case with their 1940s hats. But bowling, I don't know, Craig. It's, at least in Reno, it's recreation. It's opportunity to drink beer. But I still think it would fit with the Olympics. You know, it is skill. So why is bowling not an Olympic sport? Can somebody tell us? 884-9910. Because I know very little about sports. I'm a true amateur when it comes to anything on the subject. And if it is a sport, it's not that big of one in America anymore, unfortunately. I mean, I feel bowling is kind of wasted away, not died, but bowling has lost a lot of its popularity over the past 40 years. I remember the heyday of bowling when I was a younger man. You would see bowling on TV all the time. Bowling was a big network thing, like on ABC's Wide World of Sports. Local TV stations had local bowling shows. Reno and Sparks, we were like the Western capitals of bowling, right? Because who bowled in California? It was us. And if you were here then, I remember we had something like 6 or 7 bowling centers, and now we have half of that. We lost the big one on Keystone by 80, like, what, 10 years ago. And we had a lot of bowling leagues, the casinos. I remember the casinos had bowling leagues all over Reno, and they were 24 hours around the clock. We have a great bowling history. I think that's why we ended up with the big National Bowling Stadium downtown, with the bowling museum and the Hall of Fame inside. For God's sake, they filmed Kingpin here, you know. But it's sadly, now often, too often, I think, that National Bowling Stadium is closed. And sadly, overall bowling, I think, has diminished. I know very few people who bowl now. It's one of those things that we don't own in Reno anymore. And I'm not being an old fuddy-duddy bringing that up, but the golden era of modern Reno is when nothing was closed downtown, and we had a bunch of bowling alleys and dinner party houses. Remember them? Banquet houses like Eugene's and Bill and Effie's. One sad thing about the decline of bowling is that people used to have a lot of fun with it. You hang out with your friends. You saw people. It was just tremendous socializing. And someday I would like to see it come back to its prior glory, because it's a great way for families to get together, and coworkers too, neighbors. Bowling is fun, especially in leagues. I wasn't in one. I am a fully incompetent bowler, but whoever you are, old or young, good or bad, you can bowl, you can do it, and it's great family fun. Back in the day, our parents really would drop us off at the bowling alley or at King's Skate or Roller King, and they would leave, right? Pinball machines at the White Spot Arcade with enough money for a sandwich at Tony's Deli or Bob's Big Boy. What was I talking about? Oh, the Olympics. See, with me, all roads lead to Johnny Cerino memories. I'm sorry. Back to sports. The World Series is next week. The first pitch is 6 days away on Friday. Talk about the world. Oh, it's time for the news. Okay. I'm going to thank you. Thank you. Boy, you are on the ball today, Craig. I want to talk about the baseball playoffs, what little I know about it. And the phone lines are open, 884-9910. We're going to break for Fox News, and I'll be back in a few minutes. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM News Talk Time, 1030.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Craig, tell the boss that the Keurig machine, the coffee machine, is acting weird, and it's brewing a small cup instead of a large cup, and it's making funny noises, and it was like that when I came in. See, that's what you do, folks, to cover yourself.
Is that why I've seen you walking over to that room like eight times, because you're only getting the small cups?
I'm trying. What, these Keurig machines? Is it just me? They're about as reliable as an HP printer. It just everywhere the hotel rooms I stay in. I stayed in a suite at the Sahara in Vegas last week, and the Keurig machine it kept telling me that the cup, the grounds, the little cup was already in the machine, and that it had no cup in the machine, and it wouldn't brew when the cup was in the machine. I think. Anyway, let him know that, okay?
Operator error.
Maybe, but I think I bought one once. It lasted a year. I bought it at Costco. You know, Costco has that great return policy. And I got another one at Costco after the turned in the old one, and that one lasted 8 months. I just don't like them. I just I'm stuck with the old Cuisinart. That life is good. I just, these things, but I always make sure I get the word out. It was like that when I was here. You know, I broke a lamp at the Sahara. I can tell you folks this because, you're not in Las Vegas, but I was in Las Vegas at the Sahara. There was something on the floor, bent over to pick it up. And as I stood up again, I knocked, the lamp over, a floor mat, lamp. Had a cheap, for a fancy suite, it had the cheapest plastic holding the shade. So I spent the next half hour trying to get that shade to balance just right so the maid would not notice. Now, that's a secret I'm sharing with you, folks. And I of course, said it was already broken. But anyway, otherwise, I'm an honest man. I was talking about sports, which is foolish because I know very little about sports, but the World Series is next week. The first pitch is 6 days away on Friday. There he goes again. I've been following the playoffs this week. No, not really. I know a few people who were upset about these playoffs in the World Series because Now, this is how baseball is now. The six teams that had the best records were all eliminated. They were not among the four survivors. And they got me convinced that that's ridiculous. The whole purpose of the regular season is, you know, you play to make the playoffs. And I can remember in the olden days, the American and the National Leagues, the champion of each league, went directly to the World Series. There were no playoffs. But obviously, one benefit of the playoffs is there's more interest in the pennant races in each league and each division when you have more teams fighting for the spots in the playoffs. It's obvious, and I can't imagine living in the day when the Yankees were winning the American League virtually every year. And no wonder, there were only eight teams in each league back then. Back when I was a little boy wearing my Roger Maris baseball jacket. Now there's what, 15, 16 teams? But eight teams back then, that must have been just terrible for the seven other American League cities. I mean, what was the incentive for their fans to go to the games in like September when their teams were hopelessly out of the running? So there is something to say for the current system. It's fine. And tough luck to the teams with stellar records that did not make it, which it just doesn't sound right, you know? But this makes the teams and the leagues and the TV networks a lot more money, right? There's your reason. And I'm sure the networks, I'm sure the networks were not rooting for Arizona to make it, because when it's big money, if the biggest markets like New York or LA are not contenders, that's not enough eyeballs there to see their commercials. No offense to Arizona. We're by the way, we are pro Arizona here, right? It's the great Mountain West. It's the Aces parent team. So go Diamondbacks. Did I say anything wrong? I'm not a sports expert, so I should just shut my mouth. Let's go to Lou calling from Reno. Lou, I'm glad you called in. Welcome to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Yeah, good morning. You know, there's actually eight new events have been added to the Olympics. There's the meth needle toss, like the javelin toss, okay. But being in LA, it's the meth needle toss. There's the
homeless shopping. All right. Okay.
There's a homeless shopping cart, like the hurdles. You have to run a quarter mile and hop over the homeless shopping carts on the sidewalk.
Okay.
And the other event is the supermarket shopping cart toss, you know, like the hammer. They're going to swing the shopping carts and let them go. Now, before you cut me off here, bowling. I work at the bowling stadium when the USBC comes in, the United States Bowling Congress.
Yeah, what's the story on the bowling stadium?
Okay, this year we had around 50,000 bowlers come in from March 3rd till July 23rd. Came in and bowled in the National Open Tournament.
So they're still doing it. They're still doing it every year. Okay.
And next year, in 2024, the women are coming here. It's a little shorter event because the women's usually around 40,000 bowlers. Mm-hmm. And that runs from about the second week in April till the last week in June. And people come from all over the country, and even we've had people come from England, Germany.
Mm-hmm. Lou, I get this question from newcomers all the time. When can I go to the bowling National Bowling Stadium and bowl a few games? And I'll tell you, if you've ever been inside, it's got over 100 lanes, and they're all beautiful.
78 lanes.
78 lanes, and they're gorgeous lanes. And perfect, and it's a shame that most of the time they're not being used at all.
That's not true. There's tournaments that come in from California, and there's a national Asian American tournament that comes in, and they'll be there for 3 days, and they fill up the whole place.
And they also do the PBA. PBA comes in and does 1 to 2 events a year in there that are televised events from the bowling stadium. I was actually the one who designed the lighting system for the ones back in the 2010s.
Small world.
Now, just for you know, for now, right? Right now, well, when there was National Bowling Day a couple Sundays about a month ago, they had open bowling for like five people per lane for $50.
That's what I was referring to when I said it's a shame that a lot of times those lanes are not being used. But there's open bowling for...
Now, just for your information, you know, they're running the haunted house that used to be at Aces out of the bowling stadium.
Okay.
So the haunted house is there. Well, downstairs in the Kingpin, which has 10 lanes, that's, you know, the Kingpin Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs by the main entrance, they're open for bowling. You can go in and bowl $5 a game. And they'll give you the shoes and give you the balls.
Good deal, my friend. Good deal.
We are like today.
We are the Western capital of bowling here in Reno, and we should really start promoting that a bit more. Lou, thanks for calling, giving us that information.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Bye bye.
Craig, you designed the lighting?
Well, I did. I did the lighting rigs for I think it was 3 or 4 of the PBA events that when I was working for the RSCVA that I did the lighting rigs for those events. So yeah.
Did you design the lighting in the studio?
No.
Because I have a bone to pick with you.
No, and you're not supposed to turn the fluorescence on, John. The fluorescence should be off.
Oh, thank you.
They should just be the incandescents, which you can't buy anymore.
So, yeah. That's right. That's a problem for lighting experts like you, I guess. Oh, well. Already time for a break, and we have a guest coming up. We're going to be talking dive bars, Craig. I don't know if they're calling in or stopping by here.
Well, it's the Tap Shack.
Okay.
Is the name of the venue.
All right.
It's a 5-star dive bar.
I have them for 10:45, so we might talk to them next. Okay. Going to be fun. Open topic always, 884-9910. I'm John Potter, back in a few minutes on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time at 10:46.
Ninety-nine point one, 92.3 is FM Talk.
So last night I took a little nap on the couch before I went to bed. I call that my snore derve. See, I'm going to give that line to Joe Mackey for the Carson Nugget tonight, and he drowns me out. I'm John Potter. Good morning, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. That's live and local. Except what is happening in Washington, D.C.? Oh, no. Hey, stop. Don't switch the station. You need to know what's going on in D.C. This is like having to take your morning vitamins. You got to take this, okay? Actually, this situation with the Speaker of the House has had me thinking this week, and for that I'm grateful. You know, we had Nancy Pelosi, then we had Kevin McCarthy, and now it's nobody. I was disappointed with the Republicans. They held their meetings, right? The recommendation of the Republican Party was Jim Jordan, so they go out this week several times, and what you would expect to happen is now there will be a leadership vote, and all the Democrats voted for their leader, this gentleman, Hakeem Jeffries, but the Republicans have the majority in the House, so they get to pick the speaker. And the Republicans, most of them voted, a great majority of them, 99% of them, voted for their person, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan wins. He's the Speaker of the House. Let's go back to work. But no, some 4 or 5 or how many number, small number, of moron Republicans. And again, the overwhelming majority of Republicans say, we don't have a problem with Jim Jordan. Let's go forward. Same number that said, we don't have a problem with Steve Scalise. Let's go forward the week before. But we have 220 plus people who are being led around by the nose by a handful of holdouts who insist they get their own way, screwing up the works. So they're not going to vote the Republican Party choice. And so there is no speaker again today. There was no speaker yesterday or last week. And a very small number, a tiny handful of people, embarrassed themselves early this week and the party. They're keeping the House from actually functioning, and from a partisan standpoint, making Republicans, of which I am one, looking like absolute nitwits. I apologize on behalf of my Republican brothers and sisters for this this dumbassery that is gumming up the works. It's not how the once greatest nation on earth ought to be run. For just a tiny handful of lawmakers, they're having a very big impact, and it's not for good. I understand, you know, holding your breath and stomping your feet because you don't get what you want. I mean, I understand that in little children. I really don't understand that in a person who holds a constitutional office in the government of the United States. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a smart man. Maybe I'm wrong here. But I would say, okay, if you think that's how to treat people and you think that's going to be rewarded, you have another thing coming. I'm just dumbfounded how a group of people who are paid a lot of money, worked real hard for their jobs, have incredible responsibility on their backs, could throw away such an opportunity to demonstrate competence and caring. Jim Jordan is fine. Anybody would be fine. And what we have here is a gumming up of the works. There's no grand underlying reason. It's because Group A and Group B can't get along. And it's not a good look. It's dispiriting. And I thought that one of the lessons in elementary school was that you had to play with kids that you don't like. And sometimes you have to swallow your pride and your priorities in order to advance the greater good. So let's put the Nevada spin on this. What does our representative say about this? He says he's frustrated. Mark Amaday said the process was like, quote, herding cats, and that there's no concept of team right now, none, zero. I mean, on the other side, the Democrats don't care who the next speaker is as long as it's a black lesbian. Okay, that part not true. But I'm a Republican. I come from a proud Republican family. I came up in the era of Ronald Reagan, and one of the few Republican presidents that Democrats wound up respecting was Reagan. I was a young man. I was 26 when he was elected president. And so in those formative years, I was able to see a person with whom I agreed and whose integrity I admired, whose ability to get things done was impressive to me, a man whose commitment to duty I never had to question. And I long for those days. In large measure, Republicans continue to say the things that Ronald Reagan said. I don't know that they always implement the things that Ronald Reagan did, though. But at times, like now, they act the fool. And of course, you could say, well, yeah, John, but those Democrats are worse. Yeah, I don't know if that's a compelling argument when it comes to choosing a speaker. I don't just want to win elections. I would like principles that are just and true to be implemented with integrity by people who do what they do because they love our country. This is the essence of the public servant. And right now, we're not getting that feeling. I know I'm just rambling, but it's professional rambling. They pay me. 884-9910. I just had to get that out there. And you know, I put the local spin on it because I saw what Mark Amaday had to say about it. Herding cats. Boy, that is a darn accurate description. from Mr. Amadei. All right. Well, we will, I guess, have our next guest coming up. In the meantime, your phone lines are always open here. And I would love to hear from you this morning. 884-9910. There's a call coming in right now. And we're going to break for Fox News, of course. Everything going well in Carson City, Craig?
Everything. I can hear you. So, yeah, we're well. That's, we'll
oh, that's a
we'll save judgment on that one.
Yeah. Now I feel bad about that.
No, don't feel bad.
Rambling day today. All right. I always have this minute to kill. And here I went on for 15 minutes and I should have gone for 16. What's coming up? The huge zombie crawl in downtown Reno, and they expect 20,000 people. It I have not been to. I don't know if they really act the part. And if they did, you know, they would not talk, but I think they talk. Or I guess if they talk, it's like, Reno. They also do a Thriller dance. But I heard that has moved to the Virginia City Brewhouse. Or, I'm sorry, Virginia Street Brewhouse instead of on Virginia Street, because the city is not closing Virginia Street as they did in years past. We'll be back after the news. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM News Talk Time, 10:58.